Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. It's Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where I am very lucky and grateful to be broadcasting from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples, who have been here since time immemorial, gathering to make and share and spread culture and art and stories. I'm very, very glad to be here. Yesterday, you're going to hear the fruits of this journey, but I took a journey out to the Museum of Anthropology at UBC, our rival university. And any time I get a chance to go into that museum, I jump at it eagerly because it is filled with so many amazing things. Museums are complicated because a lot of stuff that's in there, you know, probably shouldn't be in there and probably should be where it originally was with the people who made it or whose ancestors made it. But a museum is also a really, really great teaching opportunity and a way to introduce people to these works of culture and art without having to, well, by being able to travel to one central place. And the Museum of Anthropology is really, really quite great because you've got, you know, a huge collection of, the way things are set out in the primary draw is sort of Northwest Coast indigenous art and culture, but they have stuff from all over the world. Apparently their largest collection is their Asia collection. They have stuff from all over the place. And it's just really striking to go in there and see all the different things and appreciate the level of work that went into each and every one of those objects. And MOA has a new exhibit that opens today, actually, called Tupananchiskama, which is about Andean cosmovision. And we'll get into that in a little bit. That's coming up. We've also got a piece, at least one piece from Danny, about a rally against the two-tiered healthcare system that Alberta and some other provinces are trying to move towards. We've got an episode of Rendezvous de la Francophonie. And more, of course. And today we're going to start with some music, as we always do. And today it's sort of pseudo-local. It's from Victoria, which is close enough. Members of this band used to live in Vancouver, so I'm gonna say it's fine. The reason I am choosing to play King Bob for you today is that I finally, last week, received my Christmas gift, which was a copy of the King Bob album Rookie, ordered through their website, but they were out of stock when my partner Katie ordered it for me for Christmas, and they didn't notice until after Christmas. And as a result, you know, it's always a bummer to not have the gift on the day, but King Bob was very kind to include a free t-shirt and a sticker and a rookie card, like a hockey card or baseball card styled promo for the album. So very excited to receive that. And they're working on a new album. And this is the first single from the sophomore record, as of yet untitled, or at least the title is unannounced. This track by King Bob is called Still Me.
Over clothing that doesn't fit.
What is the forest industry most afraid of? Shifting the conversation from saving old growth to protecting what's left of BC's primary forests, areas with minimal human disturbance and far greater ecological value than tree farms. Save What's Left Conservation Society is a volunteer-run group at the forefront of the movement to save the last remnants of unprotected primary forest through seeking reforms to the government agency, BC Timber Sales. Learn more at savewhatsleft.ca, find us on social media, and please support our vital work through our website.
Hey, welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. You just heard Still Me by King Bob, the first single off their upcoming sophomore record. I'm Jesse, and as I mentioned off the top of the show, I took a trip out to the Museum of Anthropology at UBC yesterday to get a sneak preview of the exhibit Tupananchiskama, which is about ancient Andean cosmovision, and opens today, March 19th, running until next January at the Museum of Anthropology. And this exhibition is very cool. And you, depending how often you listen to this program, you might know that I have a background in archaeology way long time ago. The way I came to be here at SFU Burnaby was I did a degree in archaeology, and that didn't stick as much as radio stuck. So here I am talking about it. But during that degree, I focused in the last year and a half of that degree on Andean prehistory, particularly the Inca, as many people do, the sort of best known of the ancient Andean cultures, because that was the one that was biggest and most in charge when the Spanish came to conquer and colonize. And so a lot of what we understand about Andean prehistory and Andean culture, pre-European culture, comes to us through the lens of the Inca and what they had to say about their ancestors, and then also a whole lot of archaeological investigation, which is harder to make definite proclamations about. If someone writes something in a codex or a book or whatever, if you find something written down, if you can translate it, you know at least what the person who wrote it wanted you to know. You can question sort of what their motives were in saving that information, and if they're telling the truth and all these other things, but you at least know what it's supposed to mean at its face value. Of course, there's all sorts of interpretation that can happen as well. But with, if you find a pot, or a carved statuette, it's a lot harder to know exactly what that's supposed to mean if you don't have any documentation about it. And in Andean prehistory, it's complicated. Well, Andean prehistory is called that because there is no formalized writing that at least has survived. There are record-keeping methods like the quipu, which were a series of sort of knotted strings that were used for record-keeping and probably something counting or mathematically associated, but again, without any sort of written documentation about how and what these things are, a lot of it comes down to speculation. So anyway, it's a bit of a detour just to talk about the fact that this exhibition talks about all of that and also really presents Andean prehistory far more than just the Inca. And it starts with a timeline that goes back to 12,000 years ago and sets out all the sort of important sociocultural developments, like the domestication of beans and maize and, the first chili pepper and things like that, all these sort of cornerstones of South American Andean culture. And then it's thousands of years before sort of the first big known cultures and civilizations start showing up in the archaeological record. But they all share this this cosmovision. And the cosmovision is just sort of the way that Andean cultures thought about the world, and in both sort of a physical and metaphysical, more of a metaphysical sense, I guess, in terms of there being a that three different pachus or realms, and there's the underground, the above ground, and the sky that sort of correspond to, you know, death, life, afterlife, and also this sort of big, this idea of time as cyclical, so that you're moving through these different realms. And these sort of concepts are reflected throughout these many different cultures that lived all up and down the Andes, from the north of South America to the south of South America. And they all have their own sort of distinct interpretations of it, but you can really see these concepts, this unifying thread throughout. So I really, really, really enjoyed the exhibition. It's largely pottery, and looking at this beautifully shaped and painted and etched and decorated pottery from like 2,000-3,000 years ago is amazing, and I can't recommend it strongly enough. And I had the privilege of having a tour of the exhibition and then a interview with the curator, Luis Manuel Gonzalez, who is Peruvian. And he was helped by Nuno Porto, who is a curator at MOA for Africa and South America. But I spoke with Luis about, well, about a bunch of stuff, but about the exhibition in general. And so we're going to listen to that right now. The exhibition, Tupananchiscama, Ancient Andean Cosmovision, is now open at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC. There is an opening celebration tonight at 7 p.m. that gets a little bit of a plug at the end from Luis. It features food, drinks, and some dancing, and free admission to the museum starting at 6 p.m. tonight. So listen to this interview with curator Luis Manuel Gonzalez, and then go check this exhibit out, because it's really, really awesome.
Hi, I'm Luis Manuel Gonzalez. I'm an archaeologist from Peruvian archaeologist, and I'm working now in UBC 2 years ago. And I'm the guest curator for the Tupananchiscama Ancient Andean Cosmovision. And I like to show how we put together these the belongings, and how we try to tell the story about the cosmovision for the Andes in Peru.
Right off the top, how would you explain cosmovision?
The cosmovision is the how the people have the worldview and try to understand the world, and try to make this understandable also for the other people. For this is in this worldview, we're talking about the cosmovision, how they understand the dead, how they understand the life, how understand the geography, how understand the human relations between the communities, between how you help the reciprocity, how I can peace, living together in harmony, no? But it's something, let's say.
And how would you say that is sort of expressed through Andean culture?
Yeah, in the Andean cultures, for example, we have this called the Aini, for example, the reciprocity we're talking about in the exhibition. We saw now in what the help the people help us between. For example, with this now, in this moment, with this, the people, the community, somebody for the community have need help for the healthy, for example, the operation for medical healthy, and they don't have the money. The people around the community help, but not help only for help. Is, for example, they start to sell food. And the people cooperate with this. In the past, my dad told me about, for example, is the canals for the community. It's not clean. And one day say, oh, come all the houses send somebody to help and clean the canals. And also, but this you make your house and you need that, you start to make the second level. And it's your friends and family and community coming to help, and you make the food, mm-hmm. and you have this force. And with the next people edify again the new houses, you go, and it's how this the reciprocity is continue integrate to the. It's not the same with the reciprocity, but the same idea is you make it.
Right.
But if you go for make that help somebody, but in the future somebody can help you.
Right. Mm-hmm. A real sort of like community.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Community. Yeah.
When you're putting together the exhibition, mm-hmm. sort of about a historical overview of mm-hmm. Andean culture mm-hmm. and prehistorical, I suppose, mm-hmm. are you considering that Andean cosmovision in terms of how you've laid things out and mm-hmm. the flow of the exhibit? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to show the worldview that we have recorded in the Inca time, but for try to understand or try to show how is this view can be in the past. For this, I put different realms for the Kaipacha, Gupacha, Hanampacha. It's a mix for different cultures expressed at different times. But, for example, the Ugupacha, how in different times the people represent ancestors, the Ugupacha, how they represent the animals, the beings in the Kaipacha. It can be not the same idea for the Kaipacha, but it's how they represent this. Words in this time, these realms, in these wood vessels, with that textiles, wood bones.
Right. So, like the specific interpretations or visions of what these cosmovision concepts mm-hmm. might be
yeah.
are represented from yeah. from each mm-hmm. of the, yeah. the eras. Sort
yeah.
of.
For example, the shark is represented is very detailed, mm-hmm. and it's the detail is you need to know. I saw that the shark is, you don't can imagine also the shark. The detail for the
gills, blanket,
the gills, it's precise, is that it's unique. It's sad for me, but it's with this, you need to turn also around
outside,
yeah. But it's yeah, it's well, and also the deer, the cat, the Andean cat, mm-hmm. it have all the designs. Is but as you saw, is that represent also to the lines and the color. Is very similar and say, okay, it's, for me, for this, we're talking about the first in the with the mountains, mm-hmm. is the encyclopedia, something, is the book. Is you can saw and say, okay, I can, and now I recognize this animal with this represent here.
Right, yeah. Sort of like the key.
Yeah, the key, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just talking about the artifacts, the pieces themselves, they're all from, are they all from the same collection
yeah.
here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was your sort of reaction or experience of sort of seeing and exploring that collection for the first time?
The first time, but this I have the proposal to come in to make the exhibition. I don't know nothing for the collection. For this, when I started, I tried to talk with the staff and say, this is what I know about my culture and the Andes, and I show you, but we can together build. You, the staff, have the capacity and the very potential to come walking in the same page. And I show Peru, the Andes, the mountains, the diversity for plants, the diversity for the cultures in the time. And we started talking, and I saw the pieces, and I said, okay, we have the potential for make something. Not something very particular, but it's, in the first time I think, oh, we can talk about Inca, for example, but it's 2-3 pieces for Inca. And we can talk about water, but it's not too much pieces where I can represent water. I can talk with the resilience and say, oh, the resilience is the good, but with the adaptation, and it can be. And I start with this, the resilience. But when I start to say, oh, but this, we can integrate more with this. We have 3 words, the philosophical understanding for the Andes. And with these 3 words, we have humans and animals, ancestors, and gods. Mm-hmm. And say, okay, I can start now. Searching in the collection and try to solve more for the belongings is coming here and say very good or can be the excellent candidate for this and start this and I start to the Ugu Pacha, but for me for the Pachas you say oh no but I need put in context all these things for this I started for the timeline the people understand but it's how. It's more for the my academic background, mm-hmm. but I say, oh, timelines. But it's more for the people don't like timelines, but it's too long, nobody understand. But for me, say, oh, no, and I start to say, no, but it's this, and we can make more anime, we can put the Amaru, no, the table, mm-hmm. that date. We can make something more dynamic, and the people can want to see, and it's, and also can assimilate all the time. Oh, Inca is this time, but it's only 100. And Paracas is this time. Oh, okay. Now when I saw Paracas, and you know, it's different times. It's not linear, this exhibition. Also, it's cyclical. But it's, you have the same representation in different times. For this, is, I think is this is the thing we can try to talk. Cyclical time, and is the time and space, the patches, is this definition. It can be the same space, but it's different time.
Mm-hmm.
And Nazca and Quilque and Paracas, Paracas and Nazca is in the same space, but it's different time.
Right. Yeah, well, I think, you know, mentioning the timeline and that it really, I mean, just going back and looking at it now, first of all, one of the main things is like, oh, so all of the, like, the sort of building blocks in terms of, like, you know, the domestication of various plants and the development of all these things, they all happen, like, way far back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, like, you know, thousands of years before you get the sort of, like, the big famous... The more well-known, I guess, South Andean civilizations. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, like you're saying, you get these themes that carry throughout and do seem to sort of cycle through. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's that this timeline is working perfect with the exhibition, but it's also show what is you say, is so the people domesticate plants, are using the plants too much early, but is that we saw this big buildings and big civilization, and, and it's very fascinating. But it's also, we have this curve. It's perfectly. But say, oh, you saw this time, and how now you can saw all the culture in different parts for the South America in Peru, that make it in the South, in the North, and how also overlap in the time.
Mm-hmm.
And these communities is talking totally. And it's fighting, or it's together. And say for me, this is a good view, but this. Take time to see, but I think it can be very powerful to the public to see this timeline.
So much of what's in the collection is ceramics.
Yeah.
Is that just a result of sort of what was in the collection, or is there sort of like a conscious thought around that?
Yeah, more for the collection is ceramic, but it's more things it's about. Mm-hmm. And is that the pottery is more representative and is more complete. And we want to show more the complete pieces. We can. So also the wood, we have a couple of wood. We can have a couple of wood artifacts, belongings. Mm-hmm. But the pottery is the most extensive. Yeah.
Seems like it was maybe like the preferred medium, or at least the one that survived.
Yeah,
best,
yeah, right? Yeah. And also is also can be part for the owner for the collection, they pick it. Yeah, it's no aleatory. But for this also is the for me the challenger in the first time. Say, I need to read what I can show in the collection. But this is the collection for somebody.
Right.
No. And I need to talk and read the collection. And try to understand the collection, and after this, I say, okay, I can. With this, I can make this.
Right. So you don't just get to pick anything you might want. You got to pick from what's available.
Yeah, and it's only the collection is this exhibition. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part for the exhibition.
And so you're Peruvian.
Yeah, I'm Peruvian.
What does it mean to be able to sort of like, or sort? What is your sort of personal feeling of your connection to this material and these cultures?
It's a good question, but it's when I started the research and see the belonging, every day I'd be, oh, wow, it's more, I mean, I say, oh, wow, this is so beautiful, and it's too much to talk about everything. And then for me, it's also one for the feelings to say, oh, no, I can show more. I need to synthesize the description, but this with you, so it's more for 5,000 years of history. And I need to make that very short. It's one, two, three sentences for each culture. But I hope everybody read and want to know more about these cultures. And it's more for this. It's what I saw the potential, and I feel connect with the pieces, and something is more it can be more sentimental, but it's also funny. But say, oh, it's migrant, that me. I come into Vancouver, and they come into Vancouver, and we meet together again. Yeah, it's coming to Tupan and Chiscama. The life is bringing us together again, and it's we're talking. And I talking through the belongings, but show us, no? And this is the thing. Is I want to everybody coming can saw the same, and only know for the Andes, no? It can be the person for coming for Europe, for coming for Asia, and try to reconnect and talking about again with the ancestors. But we are humans, and the humanity is other, no? It's the thing we are have these feelings for the connections.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, great. Is there anything else you think people should know about the exhibition?
Yeah, the exhibition is opening tomorrow. And it's the opening. We can have a dance for Peruvian traditions and food. And come enjoy the exhibition and try to saw and reflect about the ancestry.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome.
Thanks again to Luis Manuel Gonzalez, the curator of new exhibit Tupananchiscama, Ancient Andean Cosmovision, which is now open at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC. You can go to the opening celebration tonight, Thursday, March 19th, starting at 6 p.m. with free museum admission. You can have a look at the exhibition, enjoy some light refreshments, and listen to the opening remarks, a Peruvian despacho, which is an ancestral ceremony by knowledge keeper Paula Noriega, and a folkloric dance performance.